Welcome into the Friday, April 19, 2024 installment of Market Plus. Chris Robinson with us right now. You said something during the program that almost made me stop you and say, don't be using football terms around me. False start. But I want to start with something. This is not a false start. This is a wild start. You said in your newsletter this week a line, and I need you to explain it. Would you rather have George Soros, whether it's George Soros or George Costanza, you will get bludgeoned to death in a thin liquid market. What do you mean?
Thin illiquid market. Last night when I was driving out here, and obviously what happened in Iran and Israel started happening, they always do it in the middle of the night. The overnight markets are terrible. Stay away from the overnight markets, okay? They're not liquid. That means there's not a lot of people playing. So if something bad happens, you get whips and price moves like this because nobody wants to buy it, nobody wants to sell it because everybody's scared. And what I meant by if George Soros, you could have all the money in the world. If there's nobody there to buy or to sell it, you're not going to do well. And even if you're a small person, it makes it even harder because if you're trading futures, people will buy it or sell it and say, okay, I'm going to risk 10 cents. Well, beans were whipping around 5 cents, 10 cents like this. You could literally put your trade in, put your stop in, and before you looked back, you're stopped out of your trade when you get violent trades like that. So that's what I meant by that.
What about, let's talk that small versus large. We have a question about the funds. We'll get to in a minute. I use the fact we're about to get heavy into planting. There's already some already heavy planting.
Yeah.
You cannot sit there and focus on the markets of things, but we have that itch that there could be some volatility coming back. How does that producer guard against what could happen with these large funds, these large positions that are out there right now?
Well, at this point, we're at, right? We're a dollar off the highs from November in the wheat. We're 65 cents off the highs for new crop corn. I think we're a dollar and change, maybe a dollar 30 off the highs for soybeans. So we've already known where we're sitting at. So if you're worried about, rather than worried about trading while you're trying to plant, just say, okay, well, you know what, I'm going to draw a line in the sand here, and I'm not going to worry about it. Mm-hmm. How do you draw the line in the sand? The only way that I know how to do it, either you use sell stops with futures, which I don't like, or you buy yourself a put. You say, I don't like doing this, but at least now I don't have to worry about how much lower can it go. And then as for the flip side, if we get volatility, because volatility doesn't always mean it's going to go lower. If we get a 30 or 40 or 50 cent rally, that's when you want to maybe pick up the phone. We had a 98 cent rally off the lows in February in soybeans. Not too many people wanted to do anything. We had the 98 cent rally. Everybody's like, that's it. We're off to the races. And then it's gone. So protect the bottom line. If we get a 50 cent or a 90 cent rally, take advantage of it.
Questions now from the great viewing public of this television show. Let's start on Facebook. Robert wants to know, Chris, what happens if we go from too dry to too wet and we have delayed planting conditions?
Well, every year that I can remember, there's usually been some planting delay, some weather delay. I think if you got through, is it 2018 or 2019? I can't remember what it was, but they were planting into July. It was so wet. Eventually, the crop's going to get in there. And, you know, with these hybrids now, I don't think it has as big as a negative impact on yields as people think it is. So I would say if you're depending on that to sort of save us, I wouldn't put a whole lot of faith in that.
So I'm going to guess Diane in Minnesota's question then is not going to get much of a different answer, but I have a follow-up to it. When will the trade consider the 89-year drought cycle that we are in?
I'm asked this all the time. I've done a lot of meetings in the past month and a half, and a lot of the agronomists out there and a lot of the weather forecasters say this looks a lot like either 2012 or 2020. We're going to get the crop planted in, and then the longer range forecasts seem to be around that May time period. And you go back and look at the charts in 2012 and 2020, we bottomed out and it was the last week of May. So are we going to do, we were talking about seasonals earlier. Everybody's going to be watching the last week of May to see what happens there. The problem is, if you look at 2012, we dropped $1.30 off the highs. We started May and we went lower and then we turned around and rallied $3. So if we have a weather issue, it's going to make things very, very volatile. Again, I think you look to take advantage of it if it happens. But I don't think we're going to know until that May cycle comes through as to whether or not this is going to be the drought year.
Talk currencies here for a minute. Mitch in Iowa wants to know how much price action is being driven by the real versus dollar exchange rate compared to fundamentals right now.
Well, you know, we saw some aggressive selling come out of South America with all the political stuff that was going on down there as well. But the fact remains, if the U.S. dollar rallies, all these other currencies, including the real, reprice with it. Somebody sent me a chart of that today, the five-year move in the real versus the dollar. It does impact. I'm not going to say it doesn't. I don't think it has as big an impact as a lot of people would like to think it is. I think at this point it comes down to China is going to, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do in South America. They're going to fold their arms and they're going to see what happens with our crop and wait and see, because we're at three-year lows in corn. We're near nine-month lows in soybeans. Yes, they need to buy them, but I don't think they're going to be in any hurry, especially if the dollar keeps creeping higher.
Your arms aren't crossed when it comes to the cotton market. You're writing sell orders. Is that going to continue?
You know what? I tried desperately. We had a really slow rally. New crop cotton, Christmas cotton. Back in February, we kind of creeped our way up to 85 and change. It was almost a two-year high. And then that's how these markets turn. When they turn, and people always talk about the funds. The funds were long with that long cotton. Here we go. China was coming back online. That was going to be kind of a China trade. You saw copper making new highs. So the funds got long cotton. And when it didn't pan out, and you can see what happens, when they have to move 90,000 contracts, you go from a two-year high to a four-month low in about, 2 weeks? So cotton, they don't call it the widow maker for no reason. It's probably one of the most difficult trades out there. We're probably getting to the point now, not to get too far in the woods, where we may find some support down here around this 76 cent level in new crop. And again, the market's now it's repriced. Now it's going to what's it going to focus on? It's going to focus on what happens with weather, just like everybody else.
Instead of the woods, let's get into the wheat of things. There's another phrase for it. That's actually what the user's name is. Alex at Poverty Grass Farm. Should we be selling spring wheat right now or wait for $5 and lose money?
I don't like selling at contract lows. I mean, that's really what you'd be doing. And again, not to get too far in the weeds, you can't go back in time. You know, just 2, 3, 4 months ago, we were much higher. We've had kind of false start rallies. If you do have to sell it, you need to reown it. But yeah, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's fun to sell into new lows.
Well, you mentioned during your conversations at Commodity Classic, so that's the first week in March. How quick, if you sell at that time, you actually are ahead 60, 80 cents on some things. It can go lower. Does that frighten you? We get the questions every once in a while, like how much longer before these numbers begin with threes?
Well, that's the risk, especially with spring wheat. Spring wheat is its its own animal. Most of the funds play in Chicago and the soft red and the hard red. The spring wheat is a thinner contract. The markets are thinner. The options in spring wheat are not as good as they are in KC. In fact, I hedge a lot of my spring wheat with KC options instead, just because the options in Minneapolis are not that liquid. I don't know what to tell you. It's hard. I can tell you this. But last summer when we were at $8, $9 above, I tried to get aggressive with guys. That was the time to do stuff. Nobody, I think, in his right mind thought that we'd continue to break as hard as we did. We're just going to have to see. But I can't stress that enough. I talk to a lot of guys that call me. And usually if somebody's calling me, it's because things have gone off the rails. They're like, okay, what's my next step? So I would say if you can hold it, go ahead and hold it and protect it with some sort of downside protection, because yes, it can go lower. But if you're forced to sell, please re-own a portion of it, 25% of it, half of it, just in case we turn around and we have a 2012 type market where we go bananas. And then, because then you're doubly upset. You're selling in the lows and you stand back there and you watch your neighbor who did nothing, you know, catch the wave. So you want to, hedging and trading, a lot of it is like those big wave riders. You get somebody to pull you out there on a jet ski. If you get on that 100-foot wave, you know, you better know where you're going to go if you're wrong.
I want to thank a couple people that submitted questions that I didn't get to, Jason and Kyle and Phil. We kind of talked about seasonality, but Chris, I want to close with this. This is something you had said in the green room before we even came on. You said, "What?" And you've said it on the show. Watch for the end of May. May is when it's going to happen. Explain to me again, for those of us in the back of the church that might not have heard you the first time, what's happening? What do we need to do in these next 8 weeks? Or 6 weeks?
I would say, you, no matter what, if you don't want to sell at 31-month lows in corn, give yourself a hedge. Now, will we rally? Can I promise you we're going to rally in May? No. But historically, if you go back and look at the two big markets that we had, those began late May, right? We come off that last USDA report, and then a lot of it is that as we're heading into pollination, that's where it's a critical time period. So if you go back and look, and you know, there's a little expression, history doesn't repeat itself, sometimes it rhymes. So that's going to be a very, very critical level. But for me to sit here and say, don't worry, we're going to bottom out in May, and then we're going to be all right, no, because we could continue to grind lower. There's always, you know, something out there that nobody sees coming, but when you're walking through the graveyard, and let's face it, that's what it feels like now when we're on our lows in corn and maybe come up a little bit, you start to look for, okay, where are some possibilities? So I would say that it's a possibility. Watch that May time frame. If you go back and look at longer term charts, you can see, and in fact, you can go back every year and look, a lot of price volatility comes around the end of May, the beginning of June. We had it last year. We had our run, and then that was it. So there's an old friend of mine who I trust and think a whole lot of. He says every year you always get one, possibly two chances to market your grain to profitable levels. We're not there right now. Keep your powder dry.
That's a gold medal take right there.
It's a gold medal take.
Isn't it?
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
That'll do it for Market Plus. Next week, we are going to talk about incentivizing farmers to protect a natural resource. And we'll have the commodity market analysis of Arlen Suderman. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week.